quick question. How many calls, texts, or messages does your business miss every week? Nights, weekends, busy days. That's lost money. Create Assistance helps businesses fix that problem using AI employees that answer calls, respond to texts, book appointments, and follow up with leads 24/7 automatically. No extra staff, no complicated software. Everything runs inside one simple command center that replaces scattered tools, missed follow-ups, and manual busy work. Whether you're a service business, office, or multi-location company, Create Assistance keeps your business responsive, organized, and running even when you're off the clock. Stop letting leads slip through the cracks. Visit createassistance.ai to book a free call. Or you can call or text 515-500-2224. Again, that's 515-500-2224. We look forward to hearing from you.
They say it's in your blood. A game that can't be won, only played. A love affair. It satisfies the soul and frustrates the intellect. The greatest game ever played. Golf. It's real. And this is Real Golf Radio, brought to you by Mountain America Credit Union, with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper, son of legendary golfer Billy Casper, talking golf with you for more than two decades. And now, here's Brian and Bob.
Yeah, thank you very much, and thanks for joining us here on this special 4th of July edition of Real Golf Radio. I'm Brian Taylor, along with Bob Casper. Dave Glauser is our producer, and we thank you all for being along, and it is a very special weekend. Greg, Al, we're doing a best of. We're looking back. We're out enjoying it with our family, so if you're tuning in, thanks for taking us along, and please be safe. Greg Allen with a great Masters recap on Rory McIlroy, RTE Radio Ireland. Byron Nelson, one of our favorite all-time interviews in 27 years. You're going to hear that. Karen Stupples from Riviera Country Club. Rich Lerner and the caddy wrapping up the U.S. Open from last week. That's all coming up on this week's America 250 Best of show. You know, Bob Casper and I are among those of you who love this country. We're proud Americans with a deep reverence for the sacrifices made by so many over the last 250 years. We stand with our hands over our hearts for the stars and stripes and the sound of our national anthem. 250 years ago, brave men and women, driven by their conviction to establish a free nation, battled the mighty English forces both land and sea. Strengthened by their resolve and faith in God, they miraculously prevailed. On this day, 250 years later, we commemorate and celebrate our ancestors for their bravery and conviction, not only in signing the Declaration of Independence, but for defending it to their dying days. In 1814, amid continued conflict with British forces, Francis Scott Key penned the lyrics to the Star-Spangled Banner, which would become our national anthem. Key and others watched for 25 hours as the British Navy bombed Baltimore in a spectacular show of force and fire. At the end of it all, it wasn't enough, and through the smoke, the flag unfurled in an American victory. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? What is that which the breeze or the towering steep, as it fitfully blows, half conceals, half discloses? Now it catches the gleam of the morning's first beam, in full glory reflected, now shines on the stream. 'Tis the star-spangled banner, O long may it wave, o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Happy birthday, USA. Celebrate safely, enjoy our show, and God bless America.
How's it going, everyone? Spencer Reynolds here with Fujikura Golf, and today we're excited to bring you our newest line of performance golf shafts, the all-new Fujikura Pro Series. The Pro naming convention has a rich Fujikura history, and this promises to be the highest performance Pro Series yet, featuring an all-new advanced bend profile design. Advanced bend profile is a design technique where we target specific regions within a section of the shaft and alter stiffness in those sections to increase overall shaft performance. In the all-new Pro Series, Advanced Bend Profile targets the lower region of the midsection, drops the stiffness dramatically to increase kick speed, and a reinforced tip section provides increased stability and consistency at impact. Available in two distinct and overall smooth-feeling profiles, Pro Blue offers players a traditional mid-launch and mid-low spin configuration, while Pro Black focuses on higher ball speed players, delivering a lower launch and lower spin option. Both Pro models are available now, so visit us at FujikuraGolf.com for more product-specific information, locate a charter dealer near you, and get fit for the all-new Fujikura Pro Series.
Every champion needs a home field advantage. Mountain America Credit Union will go to bat for you with mortgage loans that cover every base, including a free appraisal for a limited time. We're not just your lender, we're your biggest fans. Mountain America Mortgage, your home team. Apply today. Loans on approved credit. Membership required based on eligibility. This limited time offer can change or be withdrawn at any time. Equal housing lender. NMLS ID 462815.
You're invited to the 4th of July sale at Uinta Golf. Now is your chance to check out incredible deals like 20% off all apparel, extra 20% off clearance bags and shoes, and exclusive tech deals from Bushnell. Don't miss the 4th of July sale at Uinta Golf by Worldwide Golf. Trusted by golfers since 1971 and home to the legendary 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee. Uinta Golf by Worldwide Golf. Get there.
Golf Course Greens starts with good irrigation. Pros and golf course superintendents agree. You should turn to Mountainland Supply for your turf irrigation needs. Mountainland Supply is the exclusive Rainbird Golf distributor in Utah. And what does that mean to you? When you need irrigation products for your lawn, you can trust that Mountainland Supply will have what you need. Plus, Mountainland can assist you in designing your sprinkler system with smartphone controllers, drip irrigation, pipes, parts, and tools. Go to MountainlandSupply.com to find the location nearest you.
With adaptive weighting technology and 33 unique loft and lie settings, Cobra has a driver model for every golfer. Introducing DS Adapt from Cobra Golf. Dial in your game.
And now, the best.
Rewind.
Cue it up. Of Real Golf Radio. With Brian Taylor and Bob Casper on the Real Golf Radio Network.
Joining us right now is our good friend, sits just down the row from us inside the press building at Augusta National for the Masters each and every year. He's a golf commentator for RTE Radio in Ireland and just an all-around really great guy. Greg Allen is joining us right now. Greg, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, Brian. Good to hear both of you, Bob and Brian. Been a while, yeah. all of a few days.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, those new radio booths that they have, we just go down there and do the show, and so you don't have to listen to us ramble over the top of you anymore from three seats down, so that's nice for you guys.
That is good. Now it's an amazing media center, all right, press yeah. building, as they like to call it.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, so I can only imagine, like, I know, my guess is anyway, that Rory hasn't made a return home to the country, but I imagine it's been quite the celebratory time. What is the feeling like back home? I mean, this is pretty cool stuff when, you know, and Northern Irishman owns the Masters for two consecutive years.
It is extraordinary. And it was, you know, not unexpected in some ways, although I think before the Masters, Rory was either third or fourth favorite. And I don't know necessarily was that because he had the back injury and the bit of a hiatus, you know, 3 weeks between, you know, the end of the Players' Championship and the week of the Masters. Or was it because his form this year wasn't, you know, as stellar as it was last year? Because last year, of course, he had incredible form winning Pebble Beach and Sawgrass before he got to Augusta. This year, he was less sort of expected to win. I think there was a very, very strong expectation that last year in 2025, that with the form that he showed running into the Masters last year, that this was his biggest chance, you know, to win the Masters. And he did. And he gave us all heart attacks in doing so. This year, not quite as severe a heart attack, but it was still traumatic enough. And I think the fact that he retained it, you know, that added a huge layer of I think pressure to win. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, like both Jordan Spieth and Scottie Scheffler have a chance to win the Grand Slam or join the Grand Slam Club this year, the Career Grand Slam Club this year. And it'll be interesting to see you know, especially in Scheffler's case, because he is at the peak of his powers at the moment, will that added pressure, you know, for Scotty mean that he, you know, will or won't complete the Grand Slam when he gets to the US Open? I mean, the US Open brings with it, you know, such a severe test. And I think that that was something which added a huge layer to Rory last year as an impediment to win, you know, the fact that it wasn't just trying to break his Masters duck, but also to win the career Grand Slam. And then to have that off his back, I think, meant that he felt that little bit freer this time around to win the Masters, because he had done it before and he had the career Grand Slam all parceled away. So those things weren't hanging over him anymore. And we saw him win with maybe his B plus game. Did he even have his B plus game? Because his ball striking off a tee, and you guys are probably better observers of the statistics than I am, his ball striking off a tee was pretty, you know, inaccurate by even his normal standards, to be so far down the ball striking statistics. 90th of 91 competitors over the first 2 days. And then when he went into the last 2 days, he was 54th of the 54 players remaining in the field in terms of driver accuracy. And yet, who has the green jacket? And I know, and I think that the point I'm trying to get towards is that with all of the deficiencies in his physical game, he made a great deal up for it with his short game. But it just shows it that you can still win by hitting it all over the place. And I'm not sure you can do that in other major championship golf courses, because when you go into the trees at Augusta, there's almost always a route out of those trees. They're tall Georgia pines, and there's not too many, you know, low-hanging branches to stop you from getting the ball back into play. And I think one of the reasons why Rory could win was because of the fact that he was obviously, you know, could win being so errant off the tee, was because it was Augusta, which is relatively forgiving.
Well, you know what? They don't give him a green jacket for hitting fairways, but they do for getting the lowest score. And he had 24 birdies to lead the field, and he was third in putting. So you mentioned his short game, but at the end of the day, you're right. Just to what you just spoke of, Augusta is a little more forgiving for those kind of players, huh?
Well, I mean, the fairways are pretty wide. This is the one thing about an ordinary, you know, mid-handicap sort of player playing Augusta can really have a good time, because it's fairly wide off the tee. There's no rough to lose your ball in. If you go into the trees, you may have a route out, and the real test is up and around the greens, where if you walk off the golf course and you're a handicap player and you haven't had a four putt, you're doing well. If you've only had five or six three putts, you're doing pretty well. So the real test is those extraordinarily, you know, precise targets, which, you know, the pin positions are on those greens, and the difficulty if you miss a green, chipping onto a green and getting down in two putts. But that's just for handicap players. But that's what differentiates it from, say, a US Open course, because I've been looking enough to play both Augusta. I've also been lucky enough to play a US Open course in a very typical US Open setup in Merion. For a handicap player, Merion is impossible. But Augusta, you know, if you're a single figure handicap player, you should break 85, you know, certainly, even if you take three or four or five three putts as I did. But you couldn't see you doing that in another golf course on the major championship rota, probably, because of the fact that simply Augusta is relatively generous off the tee. But after that, it's really, really precision territory.
You know, 12 under par after two rounds, 36 holes of this Masters, and the final winning score was 12 under par with Rory McIlroy winning by one over Scottie Scheffler. Would we have thought, after what Rory did in the first two rounds, that only 12 under par would win the golf tournament?
Yeah, I can ask you that question as well. I mean, because I know that you guys probably, you know, play a game of golf which probably more associates with you know, the type of scoring that you could possibly have on a golf course like that. I think, Bob, that when he got to 12 under at halfway, there's no question that the 20 under par record was under threat, but not because of the way he was hitting it off the tee. He was always going to have a day when that would catch up with him. And it caught up with him on Saturday, when his driver was arguably worse than it was in the first 2 days. And he didn't rescue himself with his putting or his short game in the same way as he had over the first 2 days. So his putting and his scrambling statistics on Thursday and Friday were either first or second, I think, on either day, and cumulatively exactly the same. They were in the top three. But on Saturday, his scrambling went down to 28th, I think, and his putting went down to 30th of the 54 players in the field. So he didn't rescue himself on Saturday. However, it wasn't a 77, even though he was spraying it kind of all over the place. It was a 73, which, you know, yeah, he lost all of his six-shot lead, but it still meant that he was joint leader of the Masters. And he went home that night, and I put the question to him in the short interview that we did on Saturday, because he was going straight to the practice ground to try and rectify things. So we only spent about 7 or 8 minutes with the media, although he didn't, you know, he waited until the last question was asked. He didn't brush media off at all. Like he waited until the last question was asked and said, "Are you all done, boys?" "Yeah, great." So he then went to the practice ground. But in the short interview that I asked him the question, is this a bit like it was in 2025 when you missed, you know, the 5 foot putt or 4 foot putt on the 18th green to win the Masters, and then you had to go back to the playoff hole, and in the cart journey on the way back, his caddy Harry had said to him, "Well, you would have taken this position when you were teeing it up on Thursday." And I asked him, was it a similar version to that on this occasion, except, you know, it was the start of the final round where he had to press that reset button. He lost a 6 shot lead. He's still in a share of the lead. Yes, it's pretty crushing to lose a 6 shot lead, but he's still in a share of the lead. And so he did press that reset button. He said that after, in the press conference after he won the Masters a few days ago, that he pressed the reset button, saying, "We would have taken this position on Thursday, tied to the lead, going into the final round, and let's start all over again." And pretty much that's what he did. And I thought he, similarly to 2025, I thought that his resilience was very good. He's very good at taking very hard punches that knock you down, but he gets up and he starts swinging again. It doesn't have that type of Tiger resilience, which is, you know, really focused and doesn't make mistakes when it really counts, and, you know, executes the victory, with ruthless efficiency. Rory takes punches, goes down, misses shots you don't think you should miss, but comes back with a brilliant shot to make up for it. And it gets across the line. And it's an interesting part of his character, because when he started out in his major championship journey, he won the US Open by 8. He won the US PGA by 8 in 2012. And he won the Open by 2 in 2014. But he had a 7-stroke lead in Hoylake with 17 holes to play, because he birdied the first hole of the final round, a 7-stroke lead. And he kind of rode that cushion all the way. It was never seriously threatened, although I think Sergio and Ricky came at him, but he still won Hoylake. So his first 3 majors, he wins by 8 shots, and he was coasting on a 7-shot lead for the last round. And then the other majors that he's won, the next 3, staggers across the line in Valhalla in 2014 to win the US PGA in that very controversial, almost in the gloom victory. And obviously the Masters last year, he fell across the line, and in this one, he sort of fell across the line with the way he played the 18th. But he's shown the character to do that. So it's almost like Rory 2.0 that we're seeing now. And I'm reminded of the way that Jack Nicklaus used to win majors, by 1 or 2 shots. Often he wasn't someone who blew away the field, but he had the mental strength to win by the small margins that he did. And Rory is now developing that. And I think that's going to be a great asset to him as he tries to build toward a 7th major, an 8th major. And I think what is his goal is to get to where Gary Player is with 9 majors. And after that, you know, if he gets further than that, it's amazing. But I think the fact that he's now so resilient in taking punches, getting back up and winning majors in the playoff last year and by 1 stroke this year, that sort of resilience is going to stand to him as he advances to the next 6, 7, 8 years of his career. He feels he's got another 8 or 9 years to win majors. And who's to know that at 6 majors, he won't get to 7, 8, or 9.
It's the best of Real Golf Radio.
Right.
Right now is the perfect time to check out the all-new Black Desert Resort in St. George. You can stay. You can play. Enjoy one of the many restaurants that are open to serve you, like the fun sports atmosphere at the 20th hole or the finest steakhouse experience at Basalt. Play the Tom Weisskopf Championship Golf Course, home to the PGA and LPGA Tours. Take on the massive 36-hole putting course and enjoy luxury your way at Black Desert Resort. Book your experience at blackdesertresort.com.
Golf Course Green starts with good irrigation. Pros and golf course superintendents agree. You should turn to Mountainland Supply for your turf irrigation needs. Mountainland Supply is the exclusive Rainbird Golf distributor in Utah. And what does that mean to you? When you need irrigation products for your lawn, you can trust that Mountainland Supply will have what you need. Plus, Mountainland can assist you in designing your sprinkler system with smartphone controllers, drip irrigation, pipes, parts, and tools. Go to mountainlandsupply.com to find the location nearest you.
Every champion needs a home field advantage. Mountain America Credit Union will go to bat for you with mortgage loans that cover every base, including a free appraisal for a limited time. We're not just your lender, we're your biggest fans. Mountain America Mortgage, your home team. Apply today. Loans on approved credit. Membership required based on eligibility. This limited time offer can change or be withdrawn at any time. Equal housing lender. NMLS ID 462815.
At Black Desert Resort, everyday living feels like a well-deserved getaway. Immerse yourself in the unique opportunity of ownership nestled among the lava fields and vibrant cliffs of Greater Zion. Spanning 600 acres of scenic desert landscape, our newly built luxury resort offers a range of residences, diverse dining options, year-round outdoor recreation, and world-class spa facilities. Anchoring it all is our signature Tom Weisskopf Golf Course. Explore the options or book a tour at ownblackdesertresort.com.
We know how much you love this game. That's why we built the USGA Gin app presented by Century Insurance.
Let's go. Hey, y'all can hit first.
Yes. It's there for you before, during, and after your round because it's all about getting the most out of every shot. And even more importantly, your next one. Nice. Yeah. Join, connect, enjoy. The USGA Gin app. Experience a better round.
This is Brian Taylor. For years, you've heard me talk about getting LASIK surgery from Hoops Vision. I've heard from so many of you who have had the same great experience that I had. It's been 15 years already, and my eyesight is still amazing. I 100% recommend the pros at Hoops Vision for your vision correction needs. Book your free consultation online at hoopsvision.com. Mention Real Golf Radio, and you'll save $1,000 on your LASIK procedure. That's hoopsvision.com. Hoopsvision.com.
You're listening to the best of Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper on the Real Golf Radio Network.
I started caddying at Glen Garden Country Club at Fort Worth when I was 13, and I liked the game from the very start. I'd been a country boy, my people were farmers, and when we moved to town, I'd never heard the name of golf. See, golf was very small in those days, and I'd never heard the name of golf, and found some of my friends had an extra dime a quarter to spend, which you didn't have those day and time was to just go out and spend. And so I found out they had one. I found out that they caddied at Glen Garden, so I went over, got my name on the list, and they had more caddies then than did players. But I loved it right from the start.
Well, that's tremendous. Obviously, it loved you as well. And, you know, in 1945, I alluded to it a minute ago, you won 11 straight tournaments and 18 times that year. Can you describe your attitude or your frame of mind during that time and that year?
Well, let me bring you up just a little bit ahead of that. I had a good year in 44. I think the 22 tournaments or something like that or more, and I won 8.
Wow.
Okay, and I finished well in money. I don't think I ever finished worse than 10th or the all year. And then so I found out doing the inventory of what I did in 1944.
Uh-huh.
And there wasn't anything there very serious about anything, except for going through that, I found careless shot, not all the time, but more than any other one thing, and chip poorly. And that was the only question in the whole year about the way I played.
Right.
So I made my New Year's resolution from D.C. The last one, the 18th that year, was at Glen Garden, where I'd started as a caddy, called Fort Worth Open, and it was 2 weeks before Christmas. So the weather was cold, the greens frozen, a few things like that. But anyway, I made up my mind then, from then to the time I went to California, that I was not going to play a careless shot, and I was going to work on my chipping a little bit.
Right.
All right, that's what led into 45.
Wow.
In 44, I'd averaged the lowest score, 69.67. That was a record at that time. And now that in 45, then, the total for the year was 68.33. So that's a stroke and a third per round. It don't sound like much, but that's five for a tournament.
That's huge,
and,
yeah.
If you're playing well, why, you're going to beat somebody when you
yep.
do that.
You bet.
So that started my year. My game was such, I was playing very comfortably. I wasn't particularly working on anything in my game, except being careful about not rushing. I'm not talking about in the swing. I mean, getting in a hurry, walk
right.
too fast and so forth. So I just played very easily, very methodically, and I developed a great rhythm early in the year. Of course, my rhythm was always pretty good, but I developed a great rhythm in thinking that way, and that's why I was played so consistently. You know, back about the winning that many and what it was. You know, when I won fifth in a row. Why, there's a little piece about one paragraph in the papers about the fact that nobody had won over four, so I won five. Now, it didn't bother me. I wasn't playing to win another tournament. I was playing hole by shot, but tournament by tournament. And I'd school myself on that. And I didn't say, well, I won 60, I could have won 70, or I won 8, can I win 8? And there was very little said about it until the PGA at 45 at Bahrain and Dayton. That was a major tournament. I tied for the medalist at 67 with John Revolta. And so then I had some very good and very difficult matches at a great field. And I finally won that tournament by beating Sam in the finals.
Right.
Normally, I know you can't even believe this, Bob. There were so little press people, one or two, sometimes or three. The first time I won the Masters, I really interviewed once, that was by O.B. Keeler from the Atlanta Journal.
Huh.
And then, of course, he is covered for Associated Press.
Right.
Well, when I won that, there were six press for the PGA Championship. And so after I finished, there hadn't been anything written about in the paper, I think. And when I finished, I'd won the tournament. Then, of course, naturally, I went to the interview room, and the six men, and I interviewed with them. And they said, you know, this is the ninth tournament you won in a row. And I said, I'm glad you guys know it. Nobody else knew so much. Oh, we laughed about it and stuff. So they wrote quite a bit about it. And that's when they started about the in-a-row thing.
Right.
It was fun. It never did become a bother till I began getting tired along about the 12th when I lost. And that, of course, Freddie Haas beat me.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, he and I had a conversation on the telephone just a few months ago. And we were talking about something, business work, talking about that. He ended up saying, you remember that tournament? Remember Memphis? And I said, are you kidding? I was paired with him the last round. But being tired with him and him leading me four shots, got my adrenaline going again. And I just about caught him. And then I hit the pin and the bounced off the ditch and stuff, or water, whatever it was, at the 12th hole. And I made double bogey. And so that put him back to four.
Sure.
And he said, if you had hit that flagstick on that hole, said, I you maybe not know him, but you'd about had me gone.
He'll tell you that now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Byron, tell me what your motivation was that year. I know that you had kept a diary and were checking on the money that and that's documented, the money that you made. But
well,
weren't you trying to buy a farm or a ranch or something?
Yes. I was. I'm sitting here right now. Same place I bought.
Wow.
In Roanoke, Texas. I had raised the country. I liked the country. I didn't mind the cities. I don't mean that. But I wanted to be out. So, but my thought was this. I wanted to win more tournaments than anybody. I won in a row, but yet I did not focus on that. I really focused on each course, each tournament, each stroke, a whole set of time. I learned to do that early in my career because I started, like a lot of young players do, thinking too much ahead of time.
Right.
And by the time that time comes, why, you're already lost. But my swing was very comfortable, and I just had a desire to win every important tournament in the United States at least once, including all majors. Those were my goals. Also, my main goal was to make extra money to buy and pay for this place, because even my total that year, as good as it was, great as it was, I made $52,000.
Wow.
And yeah, it doesn't seem possible, does it?
Wow.
But I had goals earlier. I wanted to become a prominent player. Number one I wanted to do was to be a decent sort of man. I was a Christian. I raised in the Church of Christ by my wonderful parents, and I have continued to do that. And I think because of the actions that I made and the things that I have not done, have allowed me to have the respect of not only the golfers, but of the people that I have today.
Absolutely. Lord Byron Nelson, our guest, tell us about your decision to leave the game at such an early age. Seems like you were right in your prime and decided to walk away. Not many guys can do that.
Well, I don't think they can, but the thing that, you know, the other thing that I hadn't said for you, I was really still was not making much money then at all, and I wanted to do some other things. I wanted to get into other ways. I had desires, almost a desire to be an account executive,
uh-huh,
and stuff like that. But, of course, I didn't have enough education. I only went to the ninth grade, and I had no background in that. So I started then. The thing that was good, it's the best thing ever happened to me because, look, I would not have been on the television. I was the first man that's on television regularly as a commentator, a pro commentator. I started really in 1960,
right.
But then I went under contract I did freelance, say, radio and TV, and went with ABC with Rune Arledge and Chris Schickel in 1963 under contract when Nicklaus won the PGA year in Dallas at DAC. And I was with them 14 years until 1977. And the thing that did was when they started the tournament, the Dallas Open, but you got some time?
Oh, yeah, we're fine. Go ahead.
Well, the Dallas Open had played one golf course, one down, one to another golf course. And so they never had any continuity of people who were running the tournament. Somebody do it one year and somebody else the next, somebody the next.
Sure.
And it was a failure. And I had, of course, left the tour now and was doing some television work and radio work here and writing with a ghost writer in the Dallas Times Herald. So I'd made millions of people had asked me questions, why is the Dallas Service such a failure? And I quoted just the things I just already said to you about just what was going on.
Yeah.
So I said it needs to be tied to something other than the Dallas Open. It's going to have to be at some place where that they have the same continuity. You could build continuity of people that are working on the tournament. When you go to DAC one year, you go to Brook Hall another year, you go to Lakewood another year, you keep going around, and there's no continuity to it. So I told them that, and so the Sailmanship Club that sponsored our tournament, they had been sponsoring things and raising money to work with delinquent children from 1922. So and they were doing a great job of what that money they had. So in 1967, they sponsored the Dallas Open the first time in 1967, and it was at Oak Cliff Country Club. Earl Stewart was a pro there, a good player, and he won the tournament. Well, I had been, now I've helped build Preston Trail with the great architect Ralph Plummer. And it was a good golf course. And so in about a couple of 3 months after the tournament, why one day W.L. Todd and Felix McKnight and three other men, but W.L. Todd and Felix called me from Dallas and said, Byron, yes, they told me, and we got something we want to talk to you about. We know you're home. We want to see you right now. We're on our way, okay? I said, sure. So they came out, pulled up, and came in and sat out, and we started talking. And they said, you know, Preston Trail, you hit Bill Preston Trail. It's a good golf course. And so forth. We talked about that and so forth. And then they said, we've been talking to them about playing the Dallas Open there all the time. And I said, oh, that's great, because it's a good golf course, and it'd be one golf course, and it's said the only thing about it, it's been on the golf course. So they said there's one other thing we have to have, and we want to call it the Byron Nelson Classic.
So that's how it came about.
So I was just flabbergasted. I was honored so I could hardly speak. So that's the way the tournament started.
Wow.
In the fall of 67, when they made the announcement, they had a big party downtown Dallas, and Governor Conley was there, who was a great governor, the man that got shot along with Kennedy did. Hogan was there, DeMeritt was there, my mother was there, first time she'd ever been to one of those parties. Sammy Davis and Lynn Campbell were the entertainers.
Wow.
How about that?
So they really kicked it off. And I tell you, our tournament makes 10% of all the tour money on charity.
It's the best of Real Golf Radio.
Every champion needs a home field advantage. Mountain America Credit Union will go to bat for you with mortgage loans that cover every base, including a free appraisal for a limited time. We're not just your lender, we're your biggest fans. Mountain America Mortgage, your home team. Apply today. Loans on approved credit. Membership required. Based on eligibility. This limited time offer can change or be withdrawn at any time. Equal housing lender. NMLS ID 462815.
Right now is the perfect time to check out the all-new Black Desert Resort in St. George. You can stay, you can play. Enjoy one of the many restaurants that are open to serve you, like the fun sports atmosphere at the 20th hole or the finest steakhouse experience at Basalt. Play the Tom Weisskopf Championship Golf Course, home to the PGA and LPGA Tours. Take on the massive 36-hole putting course and enjoy luxury your way at Black Desert Resort. Book your experience at blackdesertresort.com.
You're invited to the 4th of July sale at Uinta Golf. Now is your chance to check out incredible deals like 20% off all apparel, extra 20% off clearance bags and shoes, and exclusive tech deals from Bushnell. Don't miss the 4th of July sale at Uinta Golf by Worldwide Golf. Trusted by golfers since 1971 and home to the legendary 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee. Uinta Golf by Worldwide Golf. Get there.
This is Brian Taylor. For years, you've heard me talk about getting LASIK surgery from Hoops Vision. I've heard from so many of you who have had the same great experience that I had. It's been 15 years already, and my eyesight is still amazing. I 100% recommend the pros at Hoops Vision for your vision correction needs. Book your free consultation online at hoopsvision.com. Mention Real Golf Radio, and you'll save $1,000 on your LASIK procedure. That's hoopsvision.com. Hoopsvision.com.
We know how much you love this game. That's why we built the USGA Gin app, presented by Century Insurance.
Let's go. Hey, y'all can hit first.
Yes. It's there for you before, during, and after your round, because it's all about getting the most out of every shot. And even more importantly, your next one.
Nice. Yeah.
Join, connect, enjoy. The USGA Gin app. Experience a better round.
Golf Course Greens starts with good irrigation. Pros and golf course superintendents agree. You should turn to Mountainland Supply for your turf irrigation needs. Mountainland Supply is the exclusive Rainbird Golf distributor in Utah. And what does that mean to you? When you need irrigation products for your lawn, you can trust that Mountainland Supply will have what you need. Plus, Mountainland can assist you in designing your sprinkler system with smartphone controllers, drip irrigation, pipes, parts, and tools. Go to MountainlandSupply.com to find the location nearest you.
You're listening to the best of Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper on the Real Golf Radio Network.
This week, Riviera hosting the U.S. Women's Open. What a great venue. What a tremendous Championship, and really happy to welcome in our good friend who we haven't talked to for quite some time. It's been too long. The 2004 Women's British Open champion. She's also the analyst for Golf Channel and NBC covering this week's Open at RIV. Karen Stupples is our guest. Karen, how are you?
Hello, I'm very well. Thank you so much. And it's quite the pleasure to be out here in California calling this championship.
Yeah, your first thoughts. I know you've been to RIV before, but yeah, it's one of those. I don't care what kind of a golf fan, casual or otherwise, if you play every day, tour pro, whatnot, seems to be that RIV is one of the favorites out there as far as venues are concerned.
I can totally agree with it. This is my first time here, so I'm getting the first look at Riviera up close and personal. And I have to say, there is a definite aura about this golf course. And I can't quite put my finger on it, but it's a place that feels very special. I don't know whether it's the fairways that are so immaculate, it's like carpets. And when you walk on them, just to give people a little bit of an idea of what the fairways are like here and the kind of texture that the grass has, this Kikuyu grass has, it's like if you've got like a foam mattress pillow top. It's got, it's a couple of inches of sponginess when you're walking on it. And it's just so nice to play from. That's the fairway. The rough, not so nice. It's a bit grim in places and you want to avoid it. And the greens, super treacherous. And the bunkers are pretty deep in places. So, again, lots of places that can cause you some issues around here. But it's just such a pleasure to walk these fairways. And it's just, it's gorgeous. What can I say?
Yeah. So the USGA has done some really cool stuff in the last little while in getting these cathedrals of the game where the women have been able to play, you know, like Pebble Beach and here at Riviera and a lot of these other ones that are going to be coming along in the future. Are the girls really, really excited to be playing this weekend on this golf course?
Oh my goodness. I can't even put it into words how excited they are to be here. I really feel like this is one of the biggest things you can do for women's golf is put the players on courses and stages like this, because there's such a history around this club and this golf course. And when people watch on TV, they're curious about the course and they want to see it because they're familiar with watching the men play on this golf course. And I think what this does when you watch the women play here, it gives you a little glimpse as to how the designers of these traditional golf courses were intending the course to play. And it's quite fascinating to see how the women will play RIV, because they can't just bomb it out there and expect the same kind of results that the men had. I talked a little bit about the rough. The women don't have the same kind of strength that the guys have to get it out of the rough, or even the swing path is different for women. Women tend to come more into out, men are a little bit more out to in, men are a little more steeper, women are a little more shallower, which makes rough more problematic. And so out here, you're going to see more strategy for the women. And I think that's what makes this such an interesting challenge and why people will want to watch the women play at this golf course and at these other terrific venues that the USGA has got lined up for them in the future, the years to come.
Karen Stupples is our guest. You won your major championship, the 2004 Women's British Open at Sunningdale, right? If I remember right?
I did.
Yeah. Yes, and that's correct. Obviously a storied place. So how satisfying is that, especially being English and having it there, to be able to, when you think back or when you discuss or relive your championship, to have it be on such a prestigious place as Sunningdale? And then how does that, I guess, use that comparison to what John Bodenhammer is trying to do with creating that same thing with these venues for both the men's and women's games in the Opens?
Well, it creates a constant talking point. So whenever anybody asks me, oh, where did you win your Open? And I say, oh, is it Sunningdale? They're like, oh my goodness, that's one of my favorite courses. I love to play there. I love to see it. It's just such an amazing place. And people talk about it in those kind of words. And I think that's what you're going to have when you say you've won a US Open at Riviera or you won the US Open at Pebble Beach. You get to put your name on a list of winners of championships at these courses that is where the game's greats have played. And that's really what it comes down to. It's stacking your game up against the very best in the world, male or female. And I think that's really what matters.
I love that. Bob, real quickly, I just want a quick follow-up. Can you identify, you mentioned how special the feeling is there. I've had a chance to be at some of these places and you walk on property and you go, you can feel it. Can you define what makes a golf course, a venue? I mean, at the end of the day, it's 18 holes with pins and bunkers and tee boxes and a clubhouse. But some places, is it the history around it? Or can you just tell a championship design and venue that is maybe sets itself apart in that manner versus just the history?
I think there's a number of things that go into play with this. Obviously, you have the history surrounding the club, but you also have the care with which the course is maintained and prepared. And it's not just about the conditioning. It's the little touches that you see. It's the, you know, here at Riv, you know, we have the Kikuyu grass, but in order to keep it, it's particularly invasive and it would invade every other bit of grass that is on the golf course if you didn't keep it separate. So around the tee boxes, which is a different type of grass, they have barriers to stop the Kikuyu from growing into the tee boxes. So it's the little things, it's the attention to detail. It's the when you're walking around, you see jacaranda trees and the eucalyptus trees, and they're just beautiful, you know, magnificent trees that just really frame the golf course. And there are trees that look to be so old that they have to be propped up by, you know, other bits of wood to stop trunks from falling down and things like that. And so you can feel the history with everything you go. And the stories surrounding the golf carts. You've got Bogey's golf course. You've got Bogey's tree on 12, you know, and you know, all the famous actors that have played here. And with other golf courses, there typically are stories around the course too, holes that are named after certain people or certain events or members of the club. And, you know, every place has a story. And I think that's really the gist of what you get when you go to these courses. But it's the care and the attention and it's just that love that you know has gone into maintaining and caring for this course that you feel when you go to these places.
I love that.
So you've talked a little bit about the courses and the history and everything that goes along with it. What, as far as the layout and the setup of the golf course, who is going to be favored this week with the way the course is going to be presented?
So this is quite a tough question because US Opens are very hard to predict. Sure. Particularly for the women, that your favorites of the game, your number one, number two, three, four players in the world typically have not won a US Open. So it's pretty wide open. I would say this week, I have my eye on all manner of different players. I like Hannah Green around here. She kind of owns LA. If you look through, some of her results, she's had three wins in LA. And she's had a second, a third, a fifth, a ninth, just in the last 6 years when the LPGA have played tournaments in LA. But she kind of owns this area. It's been very good to her. That being said, the grass type is very different and it's a US Open setup. I mean, how can you not like Nelly Korda? She drives the ball so well. Hitting the fairways is going to be at a premium. But I think there's so much tact and discipline involved in winning a US Open. She's going to have to really plot her way around this golf course quite well. The type of grass, again, the rough is so penal, so you have to keep it in the fairway. So you're looking at somebody who's going to hit a lot of fairways and is very sort of tactful when they're hitting the greens. I mean, Hyoju Kim, I mean, somebody who has also won twice this year, going to be good. Pickers of the ball, people who pick it cleanly off these fairways, I think also going to do quite well. So it's pretty wide open. I mean, I've given you a wide list of potentials. I wouldn't be surprised to see a Lottie Woad play well. She's very tenacious when it comes to big moments. So we'll see. I mean, it's just so interesting what could happen. But if I had my wish list, I would wish for Nelly to win, because I think she's the biggest name in women's golf, and I think it would just grow the tour immensely if she was to go ahead and win this week.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-245-2751. 800-245-2751. 800-245-2751. That's 800-245-2751. Paid for by the pharmacy shop.
Lower your car payment today. Lower your car payment today. Yes, you heard us right. You can lower your car payment right now by making this free call and save up to $1,400 a year on your current car payments. Think about your current car payment right now. What's that costing you per year? Now think about what it would be like to put an extra $1,400 back in your pocket. That's the average savings our customers experience. We can help you drive the same car and pay less every month by lowering your car payment's interest rate to as low as 4.67%. At Rate Genius, we can work with you to refinance any car payment. If you qualify, it costs you nothing to find out how you can lower your car payment. To learn more, call this number right now.
800-832-2816. 800-832-2816. 800-832-2816. That's 800-832-2816.
Your thoughts on Lydia for this week?
Love Lydia Ko this week too. I thought that I can't possibly throw another name at you, but she was going to be my next name on the list. And the reason I like Lydia, I followed her in Cincinnati a couple of weeks ago, and she just put a new driver in the bag, and she was hitting it higher and farther and straighter, and she could move it right and left. And it's the best I've ever seen Lydia drive a golf ball. And so I was very impressed with that. She's always been, you know, good with everything else, but the driver could sometimes be, you know, she was always working a little hard with that club, but it didn't seem to be with this new driver in the bag. So that was kind of impressive. This golf course, you're going to have good short game skills. And we know Lydia's pretty talented in that department. And so that's going to be fun to watch. The other thing that I think I like about Lydia on this golf course in particular is her ability to get the ball out of the rough. She is a player that is very comfortable hitting the ball left to right, which is always a benefit when you're playing out of the rough, particularly rough that is really thick and really sticky. So you can create some angles and get the ball to move out of that rough just about as well as anybody, in spite of not having, you know, superior strength to a lot of other players. Because of her angle of attack and how she can move the ball, I think she has an advantage in that department. So I think she would be a fun one to watch.
Thank you for listening to the best of Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob.